This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply. This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right.
We hate movies. We're talking about a movie starring an insane psychopath as a main character. It's My Best Friend's Wedding. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Zadak.
Eric Siska.
And we hate movies. Welcome to We Hate Movies on the Sideshow Network. Thank you for tuning in, as always. This week, the Listener Request Month is in the ground, and we are back to original programming. This is My Best Friend's Wedding from the great, great year of 1997, directed by P.J. Hogan, possibly Paul Hogan. It's not Paul Hogan, it's just some guy.
Yeah, he was busy down under.
Yeah.
I mean, we're lucky that Zack Snyder isn't going to make another movie this week, so we can go back to like doing what we want to do. Like, yeah. just stop throwing him at, stop throwing me softballs, pal.
Come on, Zack Snyder, give us a break with the underhand pitching. Oh man, so it's your classic case of like, it's a romantic comedy. You're supposed to love this protagonist played by Julia Roberts, playing a character named Jules, which is obnoxious, but she's fucking batshit crazy.
Right. And a lot of people love this movie, I think.
Probably. Is that right?
Yeah, it did pretty good.
It was nominated for a couple of Golden Globes.
Yeah.
Was it nominated for Golden Globes? Yeah,
like, it got good reviews.
Musical comedy. I mean, like, it's Yikes. Here's the thing. It's in a genre that doesn't have, you know, that strikes out quite a bit. This does stand a bit head and shoulders above a lot of it, but not sure. Really. Like, when you look at the plot of this movie, you're
it's
like,
nuts.
Who am I rooting for? What's going
and
on?
Also, yeah. Like, so much of the humor is like that, like, cringe humor that just reminds me of, like, you know, my generation, which was, you know, watching all those movies where it's like, oh no, Ben Stiller doesn't realize he's peeing in Granny's mouth.
What movie did that happen in?
I don't know. Meet the somethings.
But meet, like, the grandmother?
It's just like, I know that's like the gross out humor end of it, but this is kind of, it's yes. like gross out emotion.
It's kind of like This Ain't Your Mama's Three's Company a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Oh man. So, in essence, to boil it down, what this movie is Julia Roberts. She is a world-renowned
book publishing food critic. She's on a book tour or just finished one or some shit.
And she's good. God, man, she's supposed to be 28 years old, and she's this successful on a book tour.
It's soul crushing.
She must be an aristocrat.
Well, that's the thing about these romantic comedies. Everyone always has to have a really interesting job, and has to be an amazingly successful. They have it all, but
yeah. No, the movie starts up, and I'm watching it with the missus, and she's like, "Oh, here's her impossible romantic comedy job."
She's like, "Come on, everybody, could we not? What about the guy that's just fucking working for?" Humping a desk for 40 hours a week. What's his romantic comedy?
I think that's why people actually liked Empire Records. It's like, oh, here's some shitty retail kids. I can kind of relate to that.
But that movie was like, you think that your boring retail job is just that? Well, it doesn't have to be. Look how much fun they're having.
Yeah. And look, I don't know, gamble all the money away.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Isn't there that thing that the boss is like...
That's Leo Paglia. Hi, I'm totally not Australian. I'm an American actor.
Man, he's done the same shitty Italian mobster accent in every non-Australian role he's had. It's ridiculous.
That guy needs to go to jail. Like, you know what, man? Enough's enough. Now you're in jail for your accent.
He was in some terrible movie with Joan Allen that came out last
year. Oh, I saw that movie.
What was the name of it? Because I saw it too.
It's maybe The Ideal Husband?
Something like that. And it's like a Stephen King script based on a Stephen King short story, I think. It's basically like Joan Allen finds out that her husband, Anthony LaPaglia...
is Australian.
...is a secret serial killer.
Oh, sweet.
And it's like, oh, I swear to God, I'm not a serial killer. And they live in like Pennsylvania, and he's talking like this, like fucking Mario. Anyway, Julia Roberts. So she's
the beginning of this movie, yes, by the way, is a 4.5-hour music video that I could not care about. Like, how did anyone stick around for this one?
You're just padding the time. It's just like these five women singing a song. One woman's dressed up like a bride, and then it's like all her bridesmaids and whatnot.
It's almost something if it's the cast. You know what I mean? Like, you want to start it with a weird, like, kind of Bollywood musical video.
That's what
of
I thought it was.
Doing something, but
I was like, where's Julia Roberts?
None of these women are in this movie.
Not a single one.
There wasn't, like, the twins in there at all?
No, not at all.
Nope. These were just four or five people just up front killing time while these credits roll. I don't know what you're going for there. Like, is this some, like, late 50s, early 60s, romantic comedy kind of throwback thing. But it's not, though, because the rest of the movie isn't like this. So why would you make this part like
this?
Well,
this movie is almost kind of a musical a little bit. Like,
oh,
there's
we'll
like
get
a
there.
Couple of big numbers in
oh,
this
Oh, we'll
one.
Get there. So she's this, like, unbelievably successful food critic, food writer, travel writer, whatever. And she finds out that her best friend, who she hasn't seen in like 2 or 3 years, so I'm like, fucking best friend, all right. Played
what
by
mean, best friends?
Dermot Mulroney is getting married, and their whole thing was like, yeah, if we're not married by the time we're 28, we're going to marry each other or something. It's like, you know, you make that agreement at like 47.
You got a couple of good fucking years left.
Totally.
With a capital F.
It's like, oh, 28, I might as well be dead, so let's get married. It's so
it's
ridiculous.
It's insane.
It's like, you know, this isn't 1875, right? Like, the average death year isn't 37.
I better get married or father's going to sell me to the mill. Be working that mill.
No, exactly. She's like, oh my God, I'm 28 and unmarried. Look at me, I'm a fucking zombie. You're like, no, you're a 30-year-old Julia Roberts. Thank you very much.
You're doing just and you're a billionaire. The best thing is she gets her food put down and she like reviews it in front of the chef. And I'm like, what world is this? She's like, this is a subtle note of something, something and something, something.
What she says to in front of this guy is, what I'll say about this is, and the guy's like, yeah.
It's like inventive and...
risk-taking or something.
So, yeah.
Meanwhile,
confident.
It's like a couple of little steak bits on some, I don't know, cornmeal-looking thing. Looked pretty gross.
Wasn't exciting, I'll be honest with you.
I thought it looked pretty good.
You put some red meat in front of me, I'm going to say good things, too.
Well, if it's not from Cheeseburgers R Us, I don't want to hear about it.
Oh, man, you got to stop by your cheeseburgers in bulk, man.
Those things won't keep.
No, they do. You freeze them. You just got to freeze them.
So, right next to Babies R Us, Toys R Us, there's cheeseburgers at us for when your kids get really gross.
It's just a bunch of frozen, like, those, like, really thin patties you'll get separated by fucking sandwich paper.
It's called White Castle, and it's great.
I know exactly what you're talking about, dude. I was raised on those.
Oh, the Steakums?
Good for grilling. So she's at this dinner with her best friend, Rupert Everett.
Who's her boss?
Yes, her editor. And there's a third character at this table, her cell phone, which is the biggest thing I've ever seen.
Out a cinder block.
It's a cinder block wrapped in leather. And I was like, my dad had that.
Well, it's like, I want my phone to look like Indiana Jones. Like, you know, I wanted to have a little bit of a debonair flair.
Dude, it had like a cell phone. There was like a little whip stuck on the side of it.
I think there was like a little leather belt around it or something.
I mean, there's no way you're fitting this in your pocket. This is purse or bust.
Or is a strap to put it around.
It had lapels on it, like a jacket.
The cell phone had an inseam.
Oh, man. It's really crazy. It's unbelievable, this technology.
She takes a phone at the table. At the table is what they call it, Andrew.
My God.
And she finds out that Dermot Rooney kind of leaves her this weird message. Dermot Rooney is really weird. She's really weird, but he's also really weird.
Damaged, bizarre people.
They're so made for each other, first of all, because it's like, yeah, just look at these two fuck-ups. Look at them both.
Because he's like, Jules, if you can call me back, you should probably call me back. I hope you're doing good. This is like the 15th time I've called you, Jules. I'm pretty getting upset. Click, click.
And it's not a phone call in which you intend to tell somebody, I'm getting married, I'd like you to be there, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. This is like a someone died horribly phone call.
I've got cancer, call me back. Hey, I'm trapped underneath something. Call me back.
I was in the garage and stacking mother's newspapers, and they fell on me. Which, you might be thinking that sounds like a Seymour Skinner thing, but it's not. Call me back.
So she does, and it's like, oh, I'm getting married, and the whole thing is like right away. You put a stop to this movie. It is. I haven't seen this person in 2 years. This is a total invitation. I'm not going.
Well, because his thing was at the dinner, she's like, oh my God, I can't believe this guy's going to propose to me. And, like, you know.
Right, because she's talking about that one magical night back in Tucson, Arizona, where they said they would marry each other at 28 years young.
And how long ago was this, though?
Like 6 years ago?
That is some sad shit.
Yeah.
I mean, what? Allow your 20s to happen before you fucking put yourself out to pasture.
Totally. Like, she's getting ready to go out and buy 7 cats at once.
But she's like, it's happening, George. My ship has come in. And she's kind of talking herself into this. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, I'm getting married to somebody else. And he's like, oh, it's going to be one of those 4-day weddings.
He's like, we're doing it really old school, so it's going to be 4 days. I was like, what the fuck?
Well, how old school is this?
I think it's 1870s. Someone might get sold to the mill.
On the third day, we sell her to the mill. Her younger sister, who's clearly not going anywhere, she's going to get sold off to the mill.
It's like a Merchant Ivory production. They have to go to grandmother's for the summer for the whole wedding season, I guess. I'm like, dude, I got work tomorrow. Like,
yeah. 4 days.
You got me for the rehearsal dinner, and you got me for the wedding.
That's why, and I know it's more expensive to do it on the Saturdays, but that's when you do it, mm-hmm. because nobody's taking work off. Unless you're traveling and whatever, but if it's like train or driving or taking public transportation, God, keep your fingers crossed for those, you know? And it's like, you don't have to book a hotel. Like, you're in and you're out. If you're in the wedding, fine. You got the Friday to have the dinner, blah, 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 blah. That's it.
I don't work at an accounting house where I can take the summer off and, like, write my novel and find love and, like, spend time by a lake.
Yeah, we're not all obnoxiously young wunderkind food critics.
I'm not going to hang out with Simon Callow for no reason. Nobody needs that shit.
So she comedically falls off the bed because that was in the trailer.
There's two of those. There's a couple of those. That's your standard, like,
I don't know. She's not super funny. Make her fall down. Hey, push her down. She'll be funny.
She's charming but not funny. So, yeah, she can fall on her ass. That'll be hilarious. So off to Chicago we go.
Because she's like smoking cigarettes. And she's like, I got to break up this wedding, George. It's all fucking coming down, George. And I'm like, whoa, this is a pretty quick turn.
You know, I was pretty impressed. Late 90s, just casual smoking by your protagonist.
Oh, a ton.
Not bad. Mm-hmm. Not bad. Those were the days. I don't even smoke. Those are the days. Just seeing that. She's smoking. Here's the thing. She's smoking in the car. And Rupert Everett doesn't have a problem with it.
Neither does a cab driver.
Oh, that's right. She's smoking in the cab. We'll get to one person who is not too pleased with her smoking a little later in the movie, because it's kind of the best part of the movie, I guess. But she, like, right away, she's walking to the airport or whatever, and it's like, I have 4 days to break this wedding up. And she's, like, marching, and Rupert Everett's like, are you sure this is what you want to do?
Hey, Julia, why are you packing all those exploding pumpkins?
Oh, you'll see. They'll all fucking see. She's a fucking Batman and/or Spider-Man villain.
Oh, it's ridiculous. The wedding meddler.
Now, did Dylan McDermott or whoever this is, did he say like the specifics about this woman yet, or does he do that in person?
I think he said Dermot Mulroney.
She's
Yeah. Don't take us down that road, Eric.
No.
Uh-oh.
Yeesh.
Anyway, that she's 20 years old. She's still in college. The woman he's marrying.
So Dermot Mulroney, is describing his fiancée.
Right, as 20 years old.
Correct.
And she's like a sophomore in college or something. Crazy.
That's crazy talk.
And, by the way, her parents own the White Sox.
Yeah, just throw that in there.
But they're not, you know, what you think are rich people. They're salt of the earth, great people. I'm not marrying for money. Bye, click. Like, this is a food bill for this guy. This guy's going to eat like a king.
Oh, I think you mean meal ticket.
Yes.
Food bill?
I don't know things.
Yeah, you know what? Actually, come to think of it, Eric, that's a good point, because like Julia Roberts shouldn't be interrupting this guy's grift. Like, come on, man! Yeah, totally. I'm working this family for everything they got. Give me 3 years, I'm going to kill this lady, and I'm a billionaire.
He's a sports writer, and he's marrying the heir to the White Sox. Yeah, this is a grift.
It's a total grift. It's like, you know what? Get out of here, Robert Redford. Paul Newman's got it.
Yeah, exactly. Leave,
the long con's too big for you, Dermot.
That's what's really great. At the end of the movie, he's like, you never open your mouth until you know what the shot is.
And also, like, it's like he can be, Jules, wait this out. You know, she's going to mysteriously disappear in a few years. And I'm going to get insurance money on top of that.
Wow, you think he was going to wait a few years? It's not like on the honeymoon? Like, oh, she fell off the boat!
How'd you never get on a boat with anybody?
No way! If you're on a boat and you have money and the person you're on the boat with doesn't have money, don't get on that boat!
Yeah,
never know if you're going to slip!
That's your death ticket.
Oh, looks like that deck's pretty wet. Hammer to the face.
Oh, honey, is that an adorable dolphin? Slit your throat.
Why don't you go try to pet it, right? And then they kick you in the hind area, and you fall off the boat.
Oh, no, then you lose your food ticket or your food basket. What did you say?
He said
food bill.
Food bill. Okay,
yeah, that's an expression.
So you get in trouble on a boat another way, and it's the plot of that movie Donkey Punch. Then you're in trouble.
Take us through the plot of Donkey Punch.
Well, as far as I remember it...
because listeners at home aren't familiar.
A couple is copulating on a boat. And
What is copulating?
That's intercourse. The dude tries a donkey punch and kills the girl.
What is a donkey
punch? I'm not going into what a donkey punch is on the air. You know what? Look it up. Just not at work.
What did this turn into? Fucking quiz show, by the way.
They gave you the answers?
I'll take the first part last, and a donkey punch is... No.
Okay. I'm sweating in this box.
So You're saying someone gets donkey punched.
To death. Literally, someone pulls a donkey punch and she dies. And so then it's like, we got to cover up the murder. But then it's like, for some reason, they're trying to kill everybody on the boat. I don't really know.
Did Jason Voorhees do a donkey punch?
No. No one will let Jason in close enough to do a donkey punch.
Anybody ever see Open Water 2?
No, I saw Open Water in theaters with Chris Cabin.
I saw Open Water. I don't think, what was 2?
It was a direct-to-DVD sequel.
Is it in water?
It is in water.
Oh, but that I didn't see.
Are they doing a donkey punch in the ocean?
No, it's a bunch of rich people go on a boat, and they're like, oh, let's all go swimming off the side of the boat. And then the ladder falls off.
Stop!
And they all systematically die one after another. Oh. I'm not even kidding. And there's a baby on the boat, and it's like, oh, the baby! It's like the stupidest way to die. I would be so upset if I had to go tell the devil that's why I died. Because the devil's going to be pissed at you.
Well, Satan, so the ladder fell.
Who's this fat fuck wasting my time? You know, don't even send him to personal hell. Send him to Gen Pop.
Oh, he's going to Korean hell.
So whatever. She goes, she meets up with German. And here's the thing, the other side of this story. So she's like twisting her curly red mustache, right?
Did we say, by the way, sorry, did we say that the fiance is played by a 1997 Cameron Diaz?
No, we did not. Now we have.
Well, there we go. You know what? You're welcome.
I guess I didn't really notice. I was more interested in the food bill.
that food bill.
I don't know. That girl's got a lot of money, though. Oh, man, I bet she's got all sorts of food bills.
It doesn't even make sense.
No, it doesn't.
The other side of this movie, though, you get into a hot and heavy relationship with somebody who's 20 years old, which is pretty creepy.
Totally.
That's criminal behavior almost.
And he's like, oh, by the way, I will not marry you until my very attractive friend that I haven't seen in 3 years gets here. By the way, I'm going to spend the whole fucking weekend with her. And it's like, okay, dude, you creepy serial killer. Like,
oh, look, she's here. Look at how pretty she is.
You have to imagine that Cameron Diaz's character is like, so he's angling for that threesome.
That's
right.
That's probably the move. Because
it's like, you know, here's my my best friend Jules is coming into town, and she's like, God, I hope that's Julius. You know, and then in comes fucking Julia Roberts, and she's like, oh. Oh, I get it, Dermot Mulroney.
How about we have ourselves a bachelor party? Huh?
It's not even that. It's like, I'm going to put you two in direct competition with one another, and whoever wins will be my bride and get a boat trip.
Then we're going to go on a boat, because you know what? Your family owns the White Sox, but a book deal's pretty good, too.
I'll take that.
I'll take both of you on a boat, either or. Hey, those decks are slippery when wet. Mulroney.
The ladder might go away.
You ever see Open Water 2? No one did.
It'll come out in 15 years.
The only thing, you know who the biggest star in Open Water 2 is?
Wait, let me just throw out a guess because it won't be anyone big at all. Steven Root.
No.
Damn it.
George Lopez.
Incorrect. The Pepsi Max guy.
Wait, what is a Pepsi Max guy?
I think you mean who is a Pepsi Max guy.
Well, hey, I'm a Pepsi Max guy because I love Pepsi. No, it's...
Well, congratulations on the role.
We Hate Movies, not brought to you by Pepsi.
You know those. He's like the Pepsi delivery guy, the guy with the hat and an innocuous face.
No.
Well, he's that guy. That's
you
the biggest
have said Duffman was in it.
I didn't even know there was a fucking Pepsi Max ad campaign.
The only
spokesperson I can remember is the Dell guy.
Oh, the Dell guy.
Oh, dude, you're getting a Dell. That guy got busted for weed.
You don't say.
You remember when Nick Swardson was hawking Barks root beer in the 90s?
Oh, shit. No.
And Barks is my favorite root beer, but you see that guy in those commercials, he wanted to commit suicide. He was just aggravating people. Like, even back then, that was the thing.
No,
let's aggravate people about root beer.
Hey, remember 1-800-COLLECT?
Welcome back to Hey, Remember the 90s. Now, he's like, welcome to the 4-day wedding, baby. Here it comes.
Right in your fucking face. 4 days of challenges. I got 4 days worth of challenges lined up. You complete this gauntlet at the end. Whoever's the winner wins Mulroney's heart.
This movie should have been called Mulroney's Heart.
Ooh, I love it.
That's a great title. You got to run through this obstacle course of tires. Whoever makes the best time earns a kiss.
Collect the most kisses over the weekend. You win yourself a boat trip.
I mean, I kind of agree with you, though.
Like, Long jumps up next.
Uh-oh, someone better pick that giant nose and find a fucking flag, or else no one's going on a boat.
Don't worry, ladies, got enough gack to go around.
All right, time to carry these hard-boiled eggs without using your hands. All right, who's going to... Anyone want to take a nap in this enormous peanut butter sandwich? By the way, my dad owns Double Dare, so I'm doing pretty okay for myself. I sleep in a sandwich.
You're marrying the heir to Double Dare?
I didn't even know that show was still on.
Double Dare fortune.
Wait, so does that mean he's related to Mark Summers?
Maybe. I think that they're just really good friends.
Oh, yeah. Mark Summers is my godfather.
He had to hold me when I was getting baptized, but he had to wear rubber gloves because he has a problem with hygiene.
But he's also so indebted to my family that when he walks by here at this wedding, feel free to give him one of the nuts. Just tap his nuts a little bit. He hates that, but he can't do nothing.
I think what we're circling around here is, why is anyone into Dermot Mulroney in this movie?
Oh, he's a handsome guy, I feel.
Yeah, he's good looking.
He's handsome, but he's a total asshole. This guy is Tom Berenger dad in the making times 100. He flies off the handle nonstop.
Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, and you feel bad for her character because everyone, either realistically or like putting on the ruse, is screaming at Cameron Diaz in this movie.
Yeah.
It's either Dermot Mulroney, who's like legitimately mad at her because they shouldn't be getting married in the first place, or Julia Roberts is pretending to be mad at her but still screaming at her nonetheless.
There is a moment in this movie where the thing is, Julia Roberts ends up putting something in Cameron Diaz's head that she can maybe complete college and have a job.
Heaven forbid that crazy
have a career
idea.
Or something. And she brings this up to Mulroney. Yeah. And he's just like, oh, really? You think that you could do that?
Oh, my God, I'm going to kill her. Oh, my God, I'm going to kill her. Oh, my God, I'm going to kill her.
He's like,
you know what? We better move up that boat trip. It's in 2 days
But he gets furious because it's like, no, your place at fucking 20 years old is to my wife
and travel around to fucking baseball games.
He's a sports writer for, get ready for it, Sport Magazine.
Man, oh man, that is a placeholder name that got left in the movie.
You get the new issue of Sport yet?
Hey, you reading Sport over there? You know, I write for Sport.
Turn to page 50. I'm in Sport.
Yeah, it's a sport magazine. It's a magazine that features mostly gun ads, but there's two sport articles in
it. I'm also in Squirt Magazine this week.
Same article, two different magazines. Also, I like to shop around.
Both mostly gun ads, though.
We also got an ad for Double Dare in that Squirt.
Also wrote a nice column this week in Boats Weekly. It's about how them decks get real slippery.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right here, right
now. So, I mean, what's the first challenge that you... So, basically, like...
The first challenge is Cameron Diaz says, I want you to be my maid of honor at the airport.
Fuck that
Holy
noise.
Shit. Right. Holy shit. I almost fell off the couch like Julia Roberts.
Her only...
friend is dead or missing. Maybe she fell off a boat.
I think so, but it's like these two relatives that are like apparently these horny twins or something.
Oh, right. One is
from Tennessee.
The woman from 6 Feet Under.
Rachel Griffiths.
Yeah. And then the other one's just, I don't know.
What I don't appreciate about this movie, and correct me if I'm wrong, we never get to see any of his groomsmen whatsoever.
Well, faceless dudes except for
Danny Masterson.
Right. Oh, Scientology's Danny Masterson is in this movie.
Right. And,
plays my little brother Scotty.
Hey, Scotty, why don't you stop being a pervert?
There's a lot of like he's a horny teenager jokes.
I think that's
jokes.
Christopher Matthews.
Oh, it is Christopher. You're right. I apologize. It's the one from Malcolm in the Middle.
Are they both Scientology though?
Oh yeah, it's one of them. It's one of them poor ass families that were just raised in it.
I read the exposé and squirt.
Yeah, there's a real anyone catch that real interesting Scientology article in Squirt this month?
Written by Paul Haggis.
Hey, Scotty, can I borrow that Seacore boat? I got to take my girlfriend out on a little ride. Yeah, she's got to get some thetans out of her. Take her out of the Seacore boat.
You pound it out of the back of the head, right?
Oh, no, that's the donkey punch, excuse me. Mixing up my sex moves with my Scientology baptism moves. Pardon me.
So, yeah, she's like, oh, will you be my maid of honor? And Julia Roberts is like, oh, this is crazy. And
yes, it is.
She's like, okay, I'll do it. And then there's this weird scene in the elevator, like where like Cameron Diaz is really like putting the screws to her. Because like,
yeah, I thought she was fucking with her.
I thought so, too. I thought that was the whole point of this movie, was like she was trying to make Julia Roberts uncomfortable just to go home. Like,
I thought it was going to
be... Hey, lady, get the fuck out of here.
It was going to be like, well, actually, she's the bitch. You know? But no.
No, it's just Julia Roberts this whole time.
She's a psychopath.
Well, if that were to be the case, then everyone in this movie would be crazy.
That's true.
Cameron Diaz is the only sane character in the movie.
She gets out... They get out of the elevator, and Cameron Diaz's mother is like, oh, look, it's the bride and the woman no one could possibly live up to. And I'm like, what the fuck is the story? Like, this is just my friend Jules, period.
Everybody knows the score, though.
Dermot Mulroney, just keep your fucking fat mouth shut about what the situation is.
I still don't get this invitation because I'm sorry. Best friend. Best friend? Come on with the best friend shit.
Yeah. It makes no sense. I guess they were friends in college and then never talked afterwards.
That's pretty sad if that's still your best friend.
I mean, like, she's got a best friend. She's got George. It doesn't seem like he has any other friends because like, it's a Tom Berenger situation. He just goes into his sports office, mouth breathes, and then gives him a column.
Well, it's a product of, like a lopsided script in a way because, like, the movie's not about him. Like, it's about her stupid craziness. But, like,
certainly.
Because aside from Christopher Masterson, who's the little brother, you have these, like, two other adult-looking dudes who are hanging around, but they're basically just glorified extras. They're at the rehearsal dinner. You know, they're, like, at this of all the four-day festivities, like, they're at all of them.
Here's a question.
Yeah.
How is Greg Kinnear not in this movie?
That's a good call. That's a great question.
This is your Greg Kinnear role. I'm the best man.
Yep. And it's like he could be like the goofy best man.
Maybe he's making moves on Julia Roberts.
Oh, he's the scumbag best man. Yeah. That's what you want. Yeah. And then they get together at the end.
Yeah, he was going to be here. But then, you know, this is a four-day festivity and he did not bring his punch card. And I couldn't punch off day number one because I need to punch. Because you got to make it to the end and then you could be at the wedding. So he had to be dismissed.
Listen up, everyone at this introductory brunch. You're all working for an invitation. Nothing's guaranteed for my weird double dare wedding.
Okay, all right, here are your helmets with jars and a ring on it. So you want to get that blue water up to that ring or else you're not coming to this wedding.
Grandpa, get pissing.
That's what they did on Double Dare, right? Like, yeah, piss in those jars?
Oh, yeah.
Why not?
I think the first thing we do is we go to a baseball game because her parents own the White Sox.
And this is a weird... We go directly to a White Sox game, and it's like she's just decided, like, I'm going to steal this man away from this woman. Mm. So let's go hang out with his whole family and family-to-be at the White Sox game. And she's, like, sexing it up, like, right away. She's like, anybody want drinks, boys?
So she, like, kind of hits on Danny Masterson a little bit. Like, he's like, oh, I've got a crush on you.
And this is, it's weird because she gets, like, right up this kid. And it's, like, teenager boner. That's, like, a like 0 to 60 in 0.2 seconds.
She's like, you know, the best man gets to dance with the maid of honor at the wedding.
Oh, big time. And it's, like, sexy dancing. And then Dermot Mulroney in classic future Tom Berenger dad mode is just like, why don't you get away from my best friend, please? And I'm like, he's going to lose it.
I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him.
Oh, my God. I'm going to kill my own brother. Oh, my God. I'm going to kill my own brother. He's going down.
I was kind of hoping
Mulroney stars as Kane.
Oh, man.
Chris Masterson is... What was it? Chris Abel. Masterson is Abel.
It's unfortunate that of Gods and Prophets didn't work out. The Kane and Abel show could have happened.
Yeah.
Oh, man. They could have been getting blown left and right, too. I think that's the problem.
Oh, my
man.
God. I'm getting blown. Oh, my God. I'm getting blown.
That show just... They really banked on that blowjob, and it blew up in their face. Mm-hmm. Pun intended. That show got canceled after two episodes. Yeah, what a tragedy.
It's not even on Hulu. Like, they're not even finishing it on Hulu. It's just two episodes on Hulu and go fuck yourself.
No, all the masters went in the garbage. Yeah, they're forget it. That show's not even going to get my Big Fat Greek Life treatment with the single DVD.
I was going to get a rim job next episode in the Bible. Get up there and figure it out.
This was
I'm the king of the world.
If you're listening from the future, this was a short-lived Ray Winstone Bible project on ABC.
Thank Bible you. Project.
Untitled Ray Winstone Bible project. Hey, he's also in Noah, so that's two Bible projects.
That's right. He's got a lot of Bible projects.
I love the Old fucking Testament. Oh, Noah, just look at all this water. Makes me think of piss play.
That was so funny.
Flood's coming, Noah.
Yeah, he was like the bad guy.
He was like,
I'm going to bust your... Speaking of being trapped on a boat.
I'm going to bust your boat. Hey, Noah, you know the decks of these old self-built arcs get awfully slippery. Awfully slippery.
I'm thinking of the new Zootopia movie, which is kind of like it's
a Bible project.
It's on Noah's Ark.
Are you shitting me?
No, I'm kidding.
A new Zootopia.
A new Zootopia, oh. And wherein like a giraffe, like Scott Peterson's his wife, on Noah's Ark, and it's like kind of funny because they're all like talking and you know maybe
that is kind of funny.
Oh, hey,
it's
Noah,
Will Arnett, and you know,
oh hey Noah,
hey Gregory.
Say, Noah, you seen my wife around here?
No, I haven't, Gregory. As far as I can tell, there was two of every animal on this boat, so she shouldn't be that hard to find.
Oh, no, it would be unicorns, wouldn't it? That's how it goes.
Oh, yeah!
Oh, my God, so perfect.
Hey, that Zootopia movie's about fighting racism, isn't it?
That's what I hear, yeah.
Yeah, that's all right. I'm down with that.
So I guess... What happens here?
Oh, well, at that party, by the way, I just wanted to point out another ridiculous moment of Julia Roberts' quote physical comedy, because she's made really uncomfortable in that elevator by Cameron Diaz because she like pulls the emergency thing and Cameron Diaz is getting like really crazy sounding. So she runs off this elevator and gets like clotheslined by a tray of food and just everybody drops to the ground. And it's like, I'm sorry, there's a bloody nose involved here. Yep. She's just like, oh, owie, owie, owie.
Yeah, she's spending the next couple of weeks in the hospital. They go to a karaoke bar because this is her like evil plan, because apparently Dermot Mulroney, aside from being terrifying and loves sports, he loves singing and music. So he's like, she's like, oh, once he finds out that she can't sing, he's going to break up with her.
Which like, come on. First of all, if you're marrying someone, you should know whether or not they can sing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she's 20 years old. They met a month ago and he's just trying to kill her on a boat. I don't think he knows.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's true. So they go to this bar and it's not like they're like, oh, we didn't know.
he's like, oh, karaoke bar, huh? And I was like, no, it just looks like a sports bar where they're doing karaoke.
Yeah, you can avoid that. You can always avoid karaoke if you want to.
I mean, unless you're at a karaoke bar, then you probably shouldn't be there. This is just a bar that happens to be hosting karaoke.
And, like, she gets roped into singing. She sings, I just don't know what to do with myself. Like, and she's really bad at it. But she kind of sounds like Jack White a little bit, right? Because it's just a scratchy, yelpy version of I don't know what to do with myself.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And, like, she wins over the crowd because, like, she's timid and they encourage her or whatever. So this, like,
and then
blows up in her face.
And then the White Stripes were born.
That's how it happened, I think. Jack White saw this movie
yeah,
and
he was
like,
in the audience.
I can do that. I can sing like that. Let's do it.
Hey, Meg, what do you think? Good idea.
Great point, Meg. So it's like, yeah, it totally blows up. But this is the thing that was weird. So I don't think this movie knows how time works necessarily.
Oh, you don't say.
Because they come out of the bar and it's this weird, like,
yeah, I know what you're saying.
Like, everyone in this bar, by the way, is like piss face drunk and having a great time at karaoke. And then they go outside, I guess after that one song, like one was enough. And Cameron Diaz is like, oh, I have to get dinner with my grandmother. Why don't you come with me, Julia Roberts? And I'm like, dinner with grandmother? What time were you going to this karaoke bar? 4:30?
What bachelor party was ending at this karaoke bar?
The best damn bachelor party in Chicago.
And this is the best part. She's like, oh, come with me, Julia Roberts. She's like, oh, no, I'm not. I'm going to stay with your fiance. Don't wait up. And it's like, okay. Okay, whatever, yeah. Man.
And like Cameron Diaz is just like, all right. And this is where you need to be like, well, no, that's not cool. Also, why isn't Dermot Mulroney going to this grandma dinner?
Just know the situation, Dermot Mulroney. Like, you want to bring your friend that you're totally platonic with. You have to understand that it's making your fiance uncomfortable and be like, oh, I guess I can't, like, go out to dinner with my girlfriend. I mean, friend platonically and spend the night with her, but platonically.
But this isn't a movie where it's like two people, like a dude and a lady who are both heterosexual, who have been friends for years, but nothing ever came of it.
Right.
This is two people that spent a long weekend fucking each other's brains out in the desert and talk about it constantly to the point where the whole family knows.
It sounded like some Manson family type of shit happened out
there. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, there was like a ceremony and they're like, on our 28th name day, we will be wed. We will take this exact strain of peyote once again and worship the sky.
And then all the piggies are going to burn.
Helter, skelter, helter, skelter.
You know, I'd really love to be a restaurant critic.
Helter, skelter.
But so we cut to something that will never happen in real life. Julia Roberts sitting on the stairs of a subway station eating hot dogs.
Yeah, sure. Whatever movie.
Whatever. I didn't know I was watching a science fiction film. Which also, nobody does this. How obnoxious. People are trying to walk by. Oh, it was making my skin crawl.
Mm-hmm. You see that happen and you just want to kick them in the back.
Totally
Yeah.
And come on.
Yeah.
There's not a bench around. You got to sit on the stairs of the L station eating hot dogs. Which also, she's a food critic.
Yeah.
There's no line about, like, I can't believe I'm eating street food.
Yeah. It should
or
be like,
is she reviewing it?
No. I'm reviewing all the food carts in downtown Chicago.
No, but she's a food critic, Andrew, but she's also a down-to-earth guy's girl. She likes footballs and baseballs and hot dogs.
Brewskis.
Fat guys, probably.
Just little
boat trips and double dare. She's every man's dream. So, like, I think at this point she realizes, like, oh, it's not going well for some reason. So she calls up George. She's like, George, and just it's like crying and like this woman's like has a borderline personality disorder. She's up 1 minute and down the next.
Who? Julia Roberts?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah.
She's crying like game. Her mother just died. Like she's like, George, help me, please. So like. He flies to New York. I guess he's supposed to be rich, I guess is the idea.
Well, he's a, you know.
The editor, right?
He's a New York book editor. He's probably got some money.
And back when publishing mattered.
Yeah, back when print was king.
Totally. And you could make money off things like books.
About food?
Books.
About contemporary.
Compilations of like restaurant reviews.
Like, what is that even about? Like,
I don't
know. I want to read, like, all right, in a few years, I'll go back to my book about what the best 1997 restaurants were.
Yeah, I don't think it's
closed down. Seriously. Burned down.
Health code violation.
Donald Trump owned it. Ew.
You owned more than you thought.
Man, they only serve Trump steaks at this restaurant, and everyone's getting hepatitis.
I think that we need to give this movie a little bit of credit, or quite a bit of credit, for acknowledging homosexuality existed pre-1999.
Rupert Everett in this movie is openly gay, and he's not a cartoon character.
Yeah.
Like, when she calls him the first time, he's just at, like, a quiet dinner party with friends, and he's got to, like, get the phone or whatever. Or no, she leaves a screaming message on his answering machine. But it's just like him sitting there. Like, in lesser movies, it's like he would get a call on a big brick leather cell phone and he's at some like ridiculous stereotype club.
Yeah, exactly.
And you'd be like, that's the joke, mm-hmm. you know? And he's just like, he's just a guy who is gay in this movie. Totally unheard of for the time.
And he's very fun. Like, he's actually the best part of
the character. He's hands down the best, leaps and bounds, miles ahead, the best part of this movie.
So he comes to like kind of, I guess, while Dermot Mulroney's getting fitted for a tuxedo. Like, he tells her basically, look, you got to shit or get off the pot. Tell this guy you love him or just get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, or you shouldn't have accepted this fucking wedding invitation in the first place.
And she tries to, but then she doesn't. And then, like, Three's Company mode, he comes over and she's like, oh, this is my fiancé, George. And he's like, what? What?
You know, fiance, because we have intercourse.
Oh, you know the weirdest part of it is? She's, like, getting fitted for something, too, for her bridesmaid's dress or whatever.
Yeah, at the same store.
And, like, he walks in. He's like, hey, Jules, how's it going? She's like, could you turn around? I'm half naked. He's like, I've seen you nakeder than that. You cannot have your platonic friend, you walk in like, I've seen you nakeder than that.
Also, insane thing in this movie. Yeah, right. This dude, he's not getting fitted for a tuxedo. He's having a suit tailored 4 days before a wedding? Oh, I don't think so.
No. Owner of the White Sox. You can send that to Middle Earth. They'll fucking put mithril on it, and it'll come back in 2 weeks.
Oh, that'd be a nice wedding.
Giuseppe's, like, making this thing from scratch.
You're
man.
Right. They're not, like, taking in a jacket. They're building one.
Like, this dude's got, like, the chalk, and he's marking where shit's gonna go. And I'm like, no. Dude, even if Papa Joe was, like, get this done. Yeah. Giuseppe's working around the clock. You don't want a tired Giuseppe making your suit.
Why you want to make a Giuseppe cry?
Listen here, Giuseppe. I'm getting married in 3 days, and this better be done, or you're going to have to review a knuckle sandwich.
Hey, Giuseppe, you like going on boat rides?
You want to get on a gondola with me, Giuseppe?
Giuseppe, have you ever heard of a donkey punch?
Yes. So, yeah, now is like we have to play, you know, Rupert Everett is the fiance for a little bit. And initially it's like there's some great line that Rupert Everett has where they're like, oh, you're only here for the afternoon or so, because they're like, oh, he's got to get back to New York. Yeah. And they're like, what did you come in here for? And he's like, oh, I just came in here to fuck her.
Well, no, Julia Roberts says it.
Oh, is that she says it?
Fuck me. And I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, oh, I thought, like, that was him.
Yeah.
That was the big, like, whoa.
Yeah.
I didn't expect that F word coming at me.
There's a weird part, though, where they're in the cab and he, like, Dermot Mulroney's like,
well, I don't know, Jules. Every time you told me about your friend there, I always just kind of thought he was gay.
And she's like, oh, yeah, well, you know, he just likes pretending he's gay and telling gay guys that he's gay. And Rupert Everett's like, it's fun. That's fucking twisted.
Why would you do that? It attracts women.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. He does that old line. Like, oh, it's great to trick girls. And she's like, worked on me. Sex games.
Well, I guess dandies aren't dead. Hats off to you, George.
Hey, you two want to go on a boat ride? You guys look pretty rich. You're her editor, huh? That means automatically you have more money than she does. Let's go on my boat.
Why don't you amend your wills real quick then before the boat ride?
Yeah, we'll hop on. This isn't your will. This is a waiver. Don't look at it and just sign it.
Hop aboard the SS Double Dare. Here's my deckhand, Mark Summers. He'll literally do anything you want.
Oh, no, put on, you don't put on boat shoes. You put on BK Knights.
There's some, oh, so they asked, so this is, we're at, like, what is the most trailerific scene in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Which I guess is, like, it's the rehearsal dinner, and so they're at this seafood restaurant. The first ridiculous thing.
Do you know the name of this restaurant?
Monty's Clam Shack.
No, well, it's close.
Nice.
Barry the Cudas.
Barry
the Cudas.
That sucks. Like really Barry, like Barry.
Yeah,
that is adorable.
Yeah,
I don't think you'd find a place like this in Chicago.
Well, maybe back then I'd have to check my almanac of reviews.
Let's see, downtown Chicago, circa 1996. Oh, burned down.
Owned by Trump and burned down. All right.
No, so they do the old, like, oh, how did you and Jules meet? And he tells this fucking great story about meeting her in a mental institution. Because his whole thing, and this is the best part of the movie, is he's like, he's going to mess with her. Like, he's pissed off that she, like, threw him into the situation.
Huge legit laugh. That was a great
laugh. Oh, yeah. This whole part, aside from what we're getting to, is great.
The funny thing is, he's like, oh, I saw her. She was a vision in pink. And Dermot Mulroney, sitting next to his fucking fiance in front of her parents at his rehearsal dinner,
starts like, masturbating feverishly.
He's like, you don't wear pink. Like, that's the creepiest line you could ever say to anybody.
You've never worn pink a day in your life.
I don't even think you wear pink panties.
It's like, oh my God, we're trying to eat lunch.
Wait, you wearing pink right now or what? I'm full of surprises.
Am I colorblind?
I seen you in all sorts of things. Panties, bathing suits, small towels.
No, shut up, Cameron Diaz. Shut up. The only thing I've ever seen pink on you. No, shut up. Just like, I will finish this line. No, shut up.
Go sit in the car now.
Now that she's shut up, George, is Jules wearing white and gold or black and blue?
I'm worried I got a real problem.
It's freaking me out, George.
It's an optical illusion from 20 years from now.
And this movie's got a mirage.
So... For some reason, they I think George, again, to embarrass her, starts singing Say a Little Prayer for Me, I believe it is, or whatever.
Yeah, whatever that's, that, Dionne, whatever the Dionne actual song
the
is
The Dionne
called,
Warwick
yeah.
song.
Because he's talking about how he met some, he was visiting a friend in the mental institution who thought he was Dionne Warwick, which is pretty funny.
Yeah.
But then he just starts going into that song.
He also mentions that their romance was like Doris Day and Rock Hudson.
Yeah, that's a great line. And the two horny twins are like, oh, that's so sweet.
Are you making a joke about being gay? I think you're wearing pink now, buddy. No, shut up. You shut up, Cameron Diaz. You shut right up. I'll make a scene at this Barry's Clam Shack.
This dude loves to make a scene. And he loves telling her to shut up.
He does.
Well, because there's a scene earlier, I think it's right when they get to the karaoke bar, maybe, or at like another dinner, where, because Julia Roberts at some point slips in like, oh, you should just tell him that you want him to quit his job and come work for your dad for a little bit. And she like tries to do that, and he's screaming at her in this restaurant. Yeah. And then she's screaming back like, I'm so sorry, don't leave me. Yeah. And like, you just, like, if you were in that restaurant, you'd be like, oh my God, one of them is going to kill the other one.
Yeah, well, yeah, she channels Lorraine Bracco after she spills the Coke. It's like, we needed that money. And she's like, I'm sorry. She's screaming her fucking head off. And it's amazing because Julia Roberts is like tenting her fingers watching this world explode. And I'm like, our hero, ladies and gentlemen.
So we're back at Barry the Cudas, and Rupert Everett starts singing this song. And then, like, the rest of the table starts getting in on it, And then,
including M. Emmett Walsh, by the way, which blink and you miss that cameo.
Oh no, I soaked up every surly second of M. Emmett Walsh in this movie, man. It was great.
Like, oh yeah, here I am in this romantic comedy. I'm kind of like a fourth tier character. I think I'm a bit of a bigger actor than this, but whatever.
I'm here to clean up if the boat gets a little messy. He's his blood simple character.
Yeah, totally. Always and forever.
You got any bathtubs on that boat or what? Gonna hunt you down.
Take some lye with you in case it goes sour.
You know they can only swim so far.
That's the reason why M.M. Walsh is like, he plays his dad, but it's like, I'm gonna hire this guy, this cleaner, just in case. Oh no, my dad wants to go on the boat with us.
This is my dad, Jake.
Yeah.
But then the biggest ridiculous part is the rest of the restaurant is singing this song. The fucking idiot keyboard player that this restaurant has hired starts playing along.
I would leave this restaurant in a huff. I would fucking throw my plate down. I wouldn't pay for my food.
Nope.
You've ruined this meal for me, sir.
I would take this. I'm not even asking for styrofoam. I'm taking this food out my bare hands. Just walking out. A big thanks for nothing.
Eating a cod in the street.
Just bite it off as I kick the door open. Walk out of this restaurant.
I do not like public singing. Uncalled for public singing.
Unless you're on a stage and I bought a ticket, shut up.
Like, yeah, if we're at a karaoke bar, if I'm at a concert, whatever, but people just thinking it's fun to sing a song.
Yeah, they need to know that it's appropriate time and place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I guess so the next part is when it gets really crazy. So George goes away, right?
He goes back to New York. They take him to the airport. Quick nothing detail about this airport. I don't know what was going on at the time at whatever Chicago airport they're supposed to be at. The flags are at half-mast in the background of this one scene.
Oh, really?
It's weird because they're saying goodbye. Dylan McDermott or Rupert Everett. My God, the three of them just juggling around in my head right
now. Yeah, sure.
Rupert Everett is saying goodbye to Julia Roberts, and he's like, you better not fuck this up and ruin their lives. Bye. You know, and he's talking to her, and whenever they cut to Rupert Everett's angle in this one scene, there's these flags that are just at half mast in the background.
Ah, yeah, that's because of the Bears game.
Oh yeah, the Bears lost big time. Had to put the flags down at half mast.
Major fumble. Major fumble on the game.
I also liked it the other way, where there was a real national tragedy, and the film studio is like, "Well, sorry, we got it for the day.
This is the only time we can schedule the shoot at Midway. Here we are.
My best friend's wedding must go on." So,
She goes to the dad's office. This is night of the stag party.
Yes, they have a weird romantic boat ride where Jim Rooney is like, "I don't know, man. It's weird when I saw you engaged to that guy, I got really jealous. Hey, by the way, we're platonic friends. You wearing pink yet or what?"
It's ridiculous.
What's the pink situation?
Oh, don't say that.
Hey, between the crab shack and the airport, you put anything pink on I should know about or what? It's
fucking disgusting.
It's insane.
That in a public place in front of your... Dude, you try saying that in front of your wife. You enjoy the rest of your fucking life, dude.
You got any pink on or what? No, shut up. Hey, you shut up.
He rolls up a newspaper and hits her in the face.
I'm going to bop you on the nose. I'm asking about colors.
No, but then it's straight out of a fucking Richard Linklater movie, because they're on a boat in the golden hour ambiguously talking about love. And I'm like, all right.
Yeah,
let's just keep going. It's fucking creepy, Dermot.
Doesn't he start singing at this point?
He starts singing a tune. Yeah. It's their song.
Oh, they have a fucking song.
They have a song, dude, because it comes into play at the end of the movie.
Smart move. A little pro tip for you. A little life hack. Don't invite anyone to your wedding that you share a song with.
Pretty good tip.
Just put that in your back pocket. Wow. It'll make the whole 4-day weekend go by a lot smoother.
You know what? For the most part, you should probably avoid former sexual partners altogether.
If you can. If you really can.
You know, maybe you got screwed over and you have to invite that chick you didn't know was a second cousin at the time. Like, you know, that's...
Whoa. I want that movie.
My best friend's cousin.
My best friend's kissing cousins. It was the sequel. This movie should have had a sequel, right?
Yeah, why not? The sequel would be Julia Roberts' wedding, and Cameron Diaz like has a revenge movie on it. Like she just goes and fucks it up at every. She's not invited, and she like fucking plants like pornographic pictures, like gets somebody deported. Wow. You know
really
what I mean?
Takes them down, huh?
Kills the goddamn vicar. You know what I mean? Like she really like she takens a wedding.
Right? Oh, how about the wedding from Kill Bill?
Yes, exactly. That's what happened. Uma Thurman was Julia Roberts in the last movie.
Are you messing with Jules' wedding? Now we're in the third movie. Woman Killer.
The Killer Inside Me, the third movie of the series?
Oh, actually, it makes perfect sense to complete the trilogy. Part three of My Best Friend's Wedding would be Donkey Punch.
Well, it'd have to be. So she's...
No, it's I'm just killing an unrelated girl in this movie. Don't worry. You don't need to have seen the other ones.
Don't worry. It's a bunch of deleted scenes. I'm just going around Chicago killing girls. Got nothing to do with Jules's hijinks, though. Bet you wish you were watching this movie, though. Hey, Morgan Freeman's hot on my trail in this movie.
Oh, that sounds great.
Because of the events of the first movie, my serial killer MO is to target women in pink.
You really need to see the first one or you're going to be lost.
You could skip the second one.
So Julia, George is like, look, you know, just be done with this situation. Like, he's yes. a conscience. And she's like, but I have the craziest idea in the world. So she writes a letter. She's like, oh, because the whole thing, the rift between, like, him quitting, what she calls, his, like, dream job that doesn't pay any money, which is sports writing, which I guess is kind of true.
But she says something about, like, why don't you get a job for adults or something?
Yeah,
I'm
because
like, this
I'm
guy,
not a sellout. I'm not a sellout establishment.
This
type.
Guy travels around, like, following presumably the White Sox. Like,
this guy does well.
He's doing okay, of
he's
course he is.
He's just not making Papa Joe money.
The problem is, he's like, the whole thing is he's getting married, and it's like he travels. You know, every week of the baseball season. Yeah. So he's like he's got a job that keeps him traveling. And it's like he's expecting Cameron Diaz to drop everything and just come on the road with him. Which, you know, the newspaper or sports magazine, sorry.
Sports magazine.
Oh, sport magazine. They're picking up the travel bill for him.
Yeah. You can't say sports magazine or we'll get sued. Sport. They exist. They're very good. But no, this is sport magazine.
So it's like, you know, he's got a lot of stuff going on. Julia Roberts offers to pick the dad up and drop him off at the bachelor party.
Is this guy infirmed? He's Philip Bosco. He's a billionaire. He can get a helicopter anywhere he wants to go.
Yeah, he owns the White Sox. Why the shit does he need Julia Roberts to pick him up in whose car, by the way? She's from out of town.
All he needs to do is call a cell phone and be like, devil's advocate. And he walks out in Chicago as Baron because he's that rich.
Yeah, totally. Jeffrey Jones is driving him around.
You.
That's what you're doing, Eddie. You're going to drive around the owner of the White Sox.
9 out of 10 sports owners have met with the devil. Like, I don't know if they've come to terms, but they've met with the devil.
Just look at Jerry Jones. Just look at him. Yeah. Look at that devil-fucked face.
Yeah, he's been there and back. You
know? Hey there, Jerry Jones. This is Jeffrey Jones. We'll drive you around here, but I can get you whatever you want. You know, whatever you want.
Well, alphabetically, we'll be roommates in hell.
I heard we're slated to share a cell.
So anyway, she shows up at his office, and he's like, I'm having a weird business meeting where we're on the phone, and there's a big plate of cheese and fruit, so just give us a minute. So she's like, I have to make some calls. Can I use your office? And she gets on this dude's computer and starts...
PowerBook, pardon me.
Oh, big time. And she starts composing this email, and it's hilarious because this movie has no idea how email interfacing works.
Well, the thing is, like, it's still early enough in the internet's game...
Yes.
...that it's like, we have to also explain this to idiots watching it that's never used the email.
Yeah, but it's like... To so-and-so, publisher, sport magazine, from
Grandpa Joe, it's comma, fucking... CEO, comma, Chicago White Sox, yeah. Major League Baseball. Well,
the Comanche uses new letter, which is
yeah,
amazing.
New letter. It's so awesome. So she writes this thing, and it's basically like, hey, buddy, you know.
Fire my son-in-law.
Yeah, listen, do my daughter a solid and fire my son-in-law. And it's like, oh, should I send it? Should I not? She saves it as a draft. Long story short. This dude comes out and tells his secretary, and again, this doesn't make any sense.
This is the most crazy power trip I've ever seen in my life.
This dude's just like, well, hey there, minimum wage secretary. I have some emails I haven't sent yet. They're sitting in a drafts folder. Why don't you go ahead and hit send?
Look, that's the amount of effort it takes to save a draft of an email and have someone else send it, man. Like, that's.
Oh, I don't send my own emails. That's what serfs do.
I have the girl do it. Hey, girl, hit send on those emails.
That's my send email girl. I got one of those. I got a water girl, a coffee girl, a cocktail girl, a lunch girl.
And this is...
I got girls.
I got a lot of girls. So then this is some like terrible, there must be a deleted scene somewhere in the movie, because we then cut immediately to Dermot Mulroney and Julia Roberts outside of this same building, and she's freaking out like, I have to get in there. I have to send these figures.
Well, yeah, because I guess the Greg Kinnear bachelor party got cut, which is unfortunate.
Right, that sounded like a real wild time.
He was about to throw the bachelor party, and I saw his punch card, and I said, get out of here.
You haven't been here for 4 days. You do not get a ticket to my wedding.
And it's so ridiculous, because it's like, even if you did have this bachelor party, it's like, hey, fellas, I'm leaving my bachelor party with this totally attractive 30-year-old Julia Roberts. See you later. Like,
see you later, my future in-laws.
Like, the fucking future in-law father is there. Like... That dude's saying something.
Yeah, he's saying a lot of things.
It's just like the biggest continuity error in this movie.
So she's trying to get in there because she's like desperate at this point. She wants him to look at the email like, oh, look what I found.
Oh, is that what it was? I thought she changed her mind about sending it and wanted to delete the draft.
That's what I thought, too.
Oh, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's,
but
it's,
you know what? Maybe we're both right.
Maybe the gods could be crazy. So they can't get in.
Is that a Coke bottle there?
They can't get in. So it's like, oh, hey, why don't we all go back to our hotel and not have sex or see what happens? So they go in. They're like, oh, let's order room service. And he's like, huh, I got this letter from my editor. That's weird. Letter on a Saturday, which is right before my wedding. That's strange. Maybe the boat didn't come in. So he opens it up and his editor is like, hey, I want you to know who you're marrying. Because this is the craziest thing that's ever happened to
right,
me.
Right, and it's awesome because the dude doesn't do it. Like, he doesn't lay the hammer down on Dermot Mulroney. He's like, the owner of the Chicago White Sox. I don't know, maybe if it was the Cubs, I'd do something about it.
This movie's got a lot of power for editors, man.
Yeah, totally. So then, like, he gets pissed off, and he gets on the phone with Cameron Diaz, and it's like, he's getting ready for, like, the sixth screaming match of this movie. Mm-hmm. And she's like, all right, I'm just going to go outside in this hotel hallway and start smoking on the floor.
Well, because she feels distraught. She feels really bad that it actually got sent. Well, and she's like, oh, I'm such a terrible person. So she's smoking the cigarette, and everybody's favorite cameo in this movie shows up.
And it's so awesome because it's like, he's like the camera is like to his back so you can't see the face. And it's just like, ma'am, you can't smoke in this hotel room. Fucking 1997 Paul Giamatti. Get out of town!
Paul Giamatti begins!
Oh, God damn it.
Oh, you can't smoke in here? Oh, Jesus, I'm so exasperated already.
I had to climb a fucking mountain to get a blue flower. Join the League of Shadows just to learn how to act.
Oh, my God, you know what it's like getting your ass kicked by ninjas day in and day out. Getting fitted for this bellhop outfit. Oh, I just don't fit in anything.
Ra's al Ghul's two fucking people. So the best part is he's just like, you can't smoke in here, lady. And like, she's like, this is where it gets, like, the problem is Julia Roberts is too good of an actress for like a light, bouncy, fun, romantic comedy. Like,
sure.
When she does drama, it's like, oh, it's like weirdly affecting. She's like,
what would you say to the worst person in the world? And you're like, whoa, not this movie.
Yeah, this the tone here is struck much different than the rest of the tone in this movie.
She's like, fucking arrest me. He's like, arrest me then. I deserve to go to jail. And it's like, am I watching Closer right now? Like, what happened? Why did this happen? And Giovanni's like, uh-oh, damaged woman, 12 o'clock, you know?
And she's just like, do you smoke? And he's like, Giamatti, you got it in. Yeah. Yeah, I smoke. And he like gets down on the
play
floor
cool,
with her.
Giamatti. Don't bring up the collector's cards just yet. Just smoke the cigarette.
Yeah, that's it. Just start sucking on it. The cigarette, that is, Giamatti. This is going great, PG.
And she's like crying and she's upset. And he's like, you know what? You know what my grandmother always told me? Giamatti, play it cool. You know what my grandmother always told me? This too must pass.
And you're like, I think that's from the Bible.
I think that's from everything.
And he's just like, he's staring at her and he's like, all right, what's the next line I could use? That grandma one fell on its face. All right, I got one. Hey, baby, how about taking this from a PG to a PG-13? Oh, that ain't gonna do it.
I'm never going to close with Julia Roberts. He does blow a smoke ring. He smokes a cigarette and he blows a smoke ring.
Oh, does he?
Oh, no, I made that up. Sorry.
No, it's just like it's a light exhale.
Okay.
Because I always look like, oh, did they really, like, yeah, you know, take in whatever you're supposed to be smoking in the movie? And he does. It's like a little like, oh, I needed that. Oh, now I'm probably going to get fired. Oh, I better get out of here. Get out of here, crazy lady.
He's like, all right. No, but he does the cool thing because he just says, this too must pass. And she's like, thank you. And he gets up and he like pushes the cart and he does like this kind of half cool wave on the way out. He's like, oh, that's cool. Oh, fuck, Giamatti. You didn't say you were off in an hour. You didn't say meet me in the bar in an hour, you fucking idiot.
Why do you think it is I keep the key card in my pocket for room 475? You just walk away, you Giamatti.
You do the half hand raise and that's the cool thing. You saw Jeff Goldblum do that once. That guy gets it all over the place.
He's your goddamn role model, Giamatti. You saw him that one time you tried to tell him. Blew that too.
Got flustered in front of Jeff Goldblum. Who else? How was I supposed to know his shirt would be unbuttoned? Staring at Jeff Goldblum's nipples. Great, Giamatti.
You can't talk in front of Jeff Goldblum. How you could ever work with Marty Scorsese? So that's it. It's just like, it's like what we just did is longer than the time Paul Giamatti's in this movie, unfortunately. But what a sweet surprise.
He's got all the hair in the world in this scene.
He really does. And I was like, man, the piece they got out. Nope, 1997. That was the real deal back then.
That's the negotiator hair.
There's a weird thing. So Dermot Mulroney comes out of the...
The bedroom.
And this is the scene. This also in this hotel is where she's like, I've been playing you kind of a thing. Does that happen here?
No, that's later. That's my
Oh, no. Well, this is, I believe, now correct me if I'm wrong, because she's still on the ground in this scene. He comes out and he's like, hey, phone call's over. My life's ruined. I'm going to kill her.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, can I have that ring back that
I
gave you?
I'm out $1 billion.
And she's like, because he has given her the wedding ring to hold on to because the wedding's the next morning or whatever. And so he's like, can I get that ring back? And she holds up her hand and she's like, oh, I tried it on and it got stuck. And this dude fucking puts his mouth around her finger and sucks this ring right off.
Come on, you fucking creep.
That's a serial killer move. Morgan Freeman is coming after you now.
He's a collector. No, and like
he likes to suck the rings off their fingers.
The funny, the weird thing is, he has the balls to break up with Cameron Diaz, and he has the balls to come back. And she's like, "Oh man, you wouldn't believe it, Jules." She was like, "How am I gonna tell everybody?" Because that's all she cares about. No, actually, that's a legitimate concern. Getting jilted at the altar with hundreds of people, that's a humiliating event.
It's a big deal.
It's day 3 out of 4. you're done. You're married, basically. You're gone through all those motions. You can't just call it off.
You're pot committed at this point.
Totally. Exactly. Like, this is like...
You just need to get married, give it 6 months, and get divorced. Mm-hmm. 6 months, nobody's going to be asking for plane fare refunded. You know what I mean? Like, it just didn't work. You can't burn it down the night before.
So sort of the last act of this movie is they go to the breakfast brunch or whatever.
It's a brunch before the 6 p.m. wedding, and it's all taking place at her family's like estate somewhere. Yeah.
How about you give me an afternoon off on this wedding? You know what, man? Like, I will see you at 6.
It's like, you know what? My God, we came all the way to Chicago. I wanted to see some sights. Nope. Wanted to go down, look at the lake, but I got this agenda that I have to keep for this wedding. So they got him working nonstop.
He goes to save face for her, which is pretty nice, actually. Not a piece of shit. And this is when she makes her viper move where, like, she's like, she tells him she loves him and blah, blah. Well, this is weird that she goes back and forth between the two of them trying to relay misinformation, but they are made for each other, so it doesn't work out that way.
Yeah.
And she's like, I love you. I've always loved you. I want to have your babies and all sorts of weird shit. I'm wearing pink right now.
I finally found some pink. Are you happy now?
And
you
they know. And she like kisses him, and Cameron Diaz sees it and runs off.
Now we're just in an action movie because it's a 3-car chase scene.
Yeah, like, well, it's a foot chase that leads to a car
It's
chase.
A foot chase that leads to a car chase. And she...
she goes, if Giamatti had a motorcycle with a sidecar, get in, we're going to get your guy.
Yeah, I have been watching you all night. Don't worry about that now.
I've been friend-zoned.
Oh, great. Now you're just driving her to get Dermot Mulroney. You know, you fucking idiot, Giamatti.
God damn it, PG. You cocked it up again. Scared another one away.
All right, it's not dead yet. We're stuck in traffic.
Make a move before the light turns.
Maybe I gotta have one of those cigarettes. That's all I know about you. What's your name?
Oh, no. You went through the yellow light. You did that. You're yellow.
You're the one that's behind the wheel. You could have hit the brakes at any second, you idiot. You're going to die alone, Paul. Don't you think I know that? Stop yelling.
Man, Paul Giamatti's internal monologue. That's an obnoxious place to live.
I could vacation there, though.
Well, I've been there.
She hijacks a bread truck, by the way.
Whatever.
And she calls Rupert Everett, and it's a weird, like, Rupert Everett's at a book reading with the author is Harry Shearer for no reason.
Amazingly.
Yeah. And so he's like, hey, how's it going out there? And she's like, well, batshit crazy. I stole a truck, and I'm chasing him down the street.
And he's and like, I'm here, too. I was in this bread truck trying to get over Julia Roberts, and who would have guessed she hijacked it?
Who is that? Oh, that's just some weird bellhop I met last night. It was right before Dermot Mulroney sucked on my finger. Don't worry, you missed a lot. Oh, man.
They went up at a train station,
yep.
And apparently that's where he proposed to her because he was getting on a train for a baseball thing. And Julia Roberts is like, look, man, you basically invited the Riddler to your wedding. I apologize. I've been playing you the whole time and all this stuff. And this is where, like, a screaming match would happen.
Yeah.
Like, an end-all, be-all nuclear fight.
The ultimate fuck you. I don't want you in my life. I really thought this was an invitation in the first place. I can't believe you accepted.
It's like one of those, it's the time you expect that really cutting remark that involves a dead relative where you're like, ooh, damn, that's low. Like, that's that's what's going to happen. But no, he just says, well, to be honest, Jules, I'm quite flattered that you ruined my wedding. It's nice to be loved by someone.
It's so stupid. And honestly, you know what this is? It's the product of people with money to throw down the toilet. Like, he doesn't give a shit at the prospect of, like, this whole thing could be ruined, people's time wasted, people's travel money wasted, gift money wasted, whatever else.
He doesn't
just
give
like,
a fuck.
It's like, well, that was pretty cute, Jules.
I could always flee on my boat.
Yeah. I'll always have my boat, the SS Donkey Punch.
Oh, God.
I thought it was the SS Double Dare.
Yeah, I got two boats.
Oh, man, I've never been on a boat in my life, Paul. You're never going to be invited on a boat.
Paul Giamatti's a stowaway on this murder boat.
I got to tell, this is what I'm going to tell her how I feel, finally.
Oh, crap, are they all getting killed? You better stay in this closet till it all blows over.
Stay under these coats, Paul. Just like those frat parties.
Good thing you brought these chips and your jacket. Don't know how long you're going to be here.
Of course you had to get the neurovirus. Can't stop puking in these coats.
I threw up over all these coats. Every last one of them soaked in Paul Giamatti's puke. Way to go, PG. Got a whole boat full of people mad at you now.
So then, like, I guess the wedding just happens. Cameron Diaz, oh, there's a weird showdown in the bathroom.
Yeah, because Cameron Diaz is hiding the only person a rich person can, which is at their father's stadium. So she goes there, and that's where Julie Roberts finds out she is, and they have this conversation in the ladies' bathroom, and like one lady yells cat fight, and I'm like, do women yell cat fight when two women get into an argument? I don't think so.
If it's in a public restroom, I think that's fair game.
Okay, fair enough.
But then it's a weird, like, all these ladies like circle around them,
yeah,
and they're like rooting for a cat fight.
To be fair, though, Julie Roberts does get her due from Cameron Diaz because she fucking tells her off.
Yeah, but she should, I don't know, be shot out of a cannon into the Chicago River.
She should punch her in the face. Also, she should be disinvited from this wedding.
Yeah, you know what you definitely don't get to do? Still be the maid of honor at the wedding in the next scene, because that's where it's at.
It would be great if it was like, all right, Jules, you're still allowed to come to the wedding. You've been ceremoniously stripped of your title of maid of honor. And also, we are going to, I don't want to do this, but Cameron's making... We got to pat you down. We just got to make sure that for the safety of everyone here, you brought us to this. I didn't want to do this.
We got to pat you down. We just got to make sure there's no pink on you.
We don't want any dirty bombs. There's a possibility of dirty bombs with you, Jules. Shut up! I'm taking care of it! Shut up! I'm Jules. Doing what you asked me to. Just shut up! God, you shut up! Everyone's in this church already.
Proceed, Father.
They have the wedding reception. She makes a speech, man. No way is there public speaking after all
this. You're
going
to give this maniac a microphone?
No, she is sitting in the back. She's getting served food last, and it's cold, and no one cares. Mm-hmm. She tries to send it back, and the waiter takes a dump on it. She says anything about that cold food, take it away with a smile and take a shit on it, because she ruined this four-day extravaganza.
That'd be great. Then she can, like, when she has her shit plate, she can kind of like do like a sad, tired, like little review of it.
Oh, man, you think she's reviewing the food at the wedding?
Yeah, the caterer is being written up. Bury the Cuda as well.
There's no way this maniac's at your wedding, right? There's
just no, it's impossible.
And she gives this weird speech, like this cry speech. Again, it's a little too overdramatic for the movie.
Yep.
Where she's just like, well, I had this nightmare that someone was trying to break up the best couple in the world. And I'm like, dude, this is too intense. And you're still making it about you, you jerk.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, just be like, you guys are the best. Mazel tov. Good night, everybody.
You know what it needs to be, honestly? Like, she needs to start making this speech, get lost in her own words, and then just drop the microphone and smash her face against the corner of the table and just fall down. Yeah. Like, that's what this character deserves. It is a terrible character that doesn't get its due. I don't care how hard you get told off in a lady's bathroom.
No, yeah.
You know what it needs to be? Ending this movie out on the field, and she's humiliated on all the stadium screens.
Oh, nice.
Oh yeah. Thousands of people just laughing at
and
you.
And booing her.
Oh,
throwing
totally.
Throwing eggs at her. I mean, it's worth it, right?
And here come the pretzels.
The actual end of this movie, for some reason, it was a reshoot.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. At the end of this movie, she was supposed to meet John Corbett and be like, ooh, romance.
Oh, no.
But it tested terribly because everyone's like, fuck this lady.
Wait, are you serious?
No.
John Corbett?
I read it in the IMDb Tribune this morning.
Oh!
Mother, we have some interesting facts about my best friend's wedding to get through.
He was going to be in my Big Fat Greek Wedding and my best friend's wedding.
That's what I thought you were making a joke about, was he met John Corbett and he had to deal with her crazy Greek family.
No, like, you know, John Corbett was just like an anonymous sexy wedding guest.
Oh, hell yeah.
She hits it off with, but like, it just tested really poorly because I guess people just didn't want to see her with anybody.
Or did Mulrooney like stop his first dance and be like, I'm getting jealous. What are you doing talking to Jules?
That's the last line is, what right. are you doing talking to Jules?
And he decks him, cut to black.
No, but the actual ending is like she gets a call on her cell phone. And it's like George, and he's like making fun of her, and then whoops, he's at the wedding,
right? Yeah. Which, and then just to be able to fly out at a moment's notice after
twice!
You get that call.
Twice!
But this is even—I mean, he gets the call that she's stolen a bread truck. You immediately just have to go to the airport. Like, he left that Harry Shearer reading to go to the airport.
He might have done that to bail her out of jail.
Well, I know where this is ending up.
Exactly.
You know, the ending you want, by the way, is that Paul Giamatti is also working a second job at this catering company.
Oh, nice.
And he's working the wedding. And then, like, she goes outside the tent to have a cigarette, and he's having a smoke. And it's like, oh, my God. Round two. Then you cut to credits.
It's meant to be.
Oh, man. She's a jilted maid of honor, Paul. If you can't close this deal, I don't know what's wrong with you.
Holy shit. But you're supposed to, like, just start dancing, and it's like...
A nice ending.
Oh, man, our hero. Didn't she sort of learn a lesson, I guess? Probably not, because there weren't really any repercussions, like going to jail or...
And the weird thing is, I mean, she did ruin this wedding. Like, they do get married, and it looks like a nice ceremony, but this wedding is ruined forever.
Whenever they think back about it, they're only going to think about her.
Yeah.
Cameron Diaz has to be like, man, remember 5 hours before I got married, I was crying on the toilet at a White Sox game? God,
then, a lot of people can say that. I think.
And then that, and then that harpy made out with you. That was cool.
Oh yeah, on the day of our wedding. And we just end with a reggae-ish cover of "Say a Little Prayer" because we got to remember about that hilarious seafood restaurant sing along.
Mm-hmm.
My God, and
an
that's
iconic
the end of the movie.
Scene? Question mark.
I had never seen this movie before, but this was like the only thing I knew about this movie was that scene. I mean, it was plastered all over the trailer. All over the home video trailer. Wherever someone was talking about my best friend's wedding, this scene was coming up. Because it's magical.
It is.
Would anybody recommend this movie?
Yeah, it's a light recommend. It's like a TBS hangover movie. Like, you're hungover in a hotel, maybe, and you have basic cable, and you're like, oh, wait a minute, my best friend's wedding.
Yeah, Steve has got the right answer. That is exactly right. I think it's a light recommend as well, but I wouldn't say you have to see it.
No, it's a light recommend. I think it is hotel hangover only, though. If you're at home,
put
there's better things you can find.
Yeah, that's fair.
But it's like, my God, the plane isn't for another 6 hours. I feel like a dog shit down my throat, you know?
You know, it's not that movie, which I actually turned off, was The Rocker with Rainn Wilson.
Yikes.
Oh, I had to think about what that was for a second.
And I was just hung over in a hotel, and I was like, it's not doing it for me, man. You ever get let down by a hangover movie?
Yeah, probably. I must have. Yeah.
I think that exact movie I might have seen with Chris Cabin.
Oh, no.
At like a press event.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You figure that's one that wouldn't have been screened for critics.
That was tough.
That's My Best Friend's Wedding from 1997, directed by PJ Not Paul Hogan. If you want more information about We Hate Movies, check out our website, whmpodcast.com. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/WeHateMovies. Follow us on Twitter. We are at WHMPodcast. And, of course, right into the mailbag, weallhatemovies@gmail.com. Rate and review the show wherever you get it. We would greatly appreciate it. It helps increase the exposure of the program. Now, next week, continuing WHM original programming, we're playing some video games, everybody. That's right. A long-anticipated episode and one of my promised films of 2016... It's The Wizard with Fred Savage.
Ooh.
That's right. The premiere. The movie that premiered. The movie that debuted. Mm-hmm. Super Mario Brothers 3.
So put on your power gloves and warm it up.
So until next week when we're talking about that 90-minute Nintendo commercial, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Seda.
Eric Siska.
Take it easy.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.